studying the book of Revelation. This is our second lesson in the second section in dealing with understanding and knowing the book. But before we get that far, a couple of things I'd like to go over. One is the congregational meeting this Sunday after the morning service on the 14th. So please just spend a little bit of time. It won't take all that long, but a little time after Sunday morning. Secondly, most all of you know Estelle, and I've been wondering where Estelle is, and we talked and laughed because she lives alone, I live alone, and I told her, you know, she and I, we could be dead. If I died Thursday night, no, Wednesday night when I got home, nobody would know it until Sunday morning, and maybe y'all would wonder where I was, I don't know. And she's the same way, so, well, what has happened with Estelle is that her eyes have just been giving increasing trouble, and she finally had them operated on yesterday, this morning. She's home and doing fine. And she said it's just wow, she can see so many things, and it's so much better. And they'll do more and more things in the next few days to be better. So please be in prayer for the healing process of her eye work. And so bear that in mind. Next, I don't know the extent of everything in this regard, but I want to get back to our children's things teaching children. If you are interested in the development of the material, putting the material together, writing it, all this kind of stuff that I want to do, I'm not talking about teaching it yet. If you're interested, that's fine too. But let me know as we're going to start having some meetings here, and hopefully here at the church, and I'll bring it all down, and we'll just lay it all out, maybe even on these tables, and get to work and get it organized, and to how to teach our children out there. I've kind of let that drop, and we have some mothers with some little bitty ones, and Lori Daig, they just had a little baby 2 months ago, July 4th, as a matter of fact, and she's the one been kind of wondering about things, and she has a little boy, so we're going to start, and depending on how many want to work with us and all, we'll set up some meetings and get that going for the teaching of the children. So please bear that in mind. Anybody have anything we need to be in prayer about before we enter into our study? Yes, Pat? I'm sorry?
My mother.
Your mother, okay. They do that a lot.
Yeah.
My aunt, they just, you know, we knew a lot of times, okay, you know, Aunt Leela's going home. Well, she didn't go home. She went on back to the hospital. And so, yeah. All right, we definitely will. Give me a first name, please.
Dorothy.
Dorothy, okay, thank you.
I have a friend that I went to school with. He has a son. He's a believer.
That happens, so. Can you give me his first name?
His name is Mike Underwood.
Mike. Let's be in prayer for Dorothy and for Mike. Anybody else have anything we need to bring before the throne? Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the book of Revelation. We are at the point now where we're going to get into the book and digest the book, understand it. And like I said, it is in this section that you'll know the book of Revelation before we ever even get started in regard to verse by verse. And the verse by verse, we're just going to fill in all the way through. So let's spend a few moments in prayer before we hit the study and get into these things. Let's pray. We know, Heavenly Father, there is nothing more dangerous in our life than to open up the Scriptures. This is true of any and every book that is in the Scriptures. The book of Revelation, Heavenly Father, has a multitude of interpretations, applications, fears, controls, multitude of people desiring to even just stay away from it. We pray as we journey through this book, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will be the teacher and guide us through. Open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see and our ears to the things that you would have us to hear in understanding this book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week, page 57, we introduce this segment of our study, understanding the book of Revelation, grasping the book of Revelation. We want to understand, before we even get to verse by verse, what the book is about, grasp its meaning, grasp what this book is about, so it becomes a vital part of our lives. There are a great deal of comments made. I'm sure you've heard them, if I have. Well, the end of time is near. And I heard one preacher say it's going to be October the 31st on Halloween night. And that it's all going to hit. And, you know, all these things and different applications of things that are going on in the book of Revelation. And we want to grasp the book. People, I want it to be important to you. Enough to know that every day is valuable, and whether or not the rapture occurs October 31st or 10 years from now or 100 years from now, what is important is what you and I do with each day. One thing that I hear a lot of from people in regard to what happened in New York on 11 September is, and across the country, not just there, but just the value of their homes, value of their wives, their husbands, their children, their life. And it's a shame when it takes a tragedy like that. However, it's one of the reasons God does do those kind of things, to get our attention, to cause us to think about what really is important and what we're doing with our days and enjoying each day and spending the time, redeeming the time in regard to God's plan for our lives. So all of this becomes very important. Okay, let me be an usher here. We have one chair up here and then one right there. There we go. Good. Okay. The repeating of one announcement is, and that is in regard to the what we teach our children out there. Larry, what I want to do is people that want to be interested in putting together the material and working, please let me know tonight as soon as you can so I can set up a meeting, because it's going to be done quickly and we're going to get these things going. I'd like to have this organized and set up. I have a lot of the material. I know where I want to go, and it's just a matter of getting it and back out and getting to work on it and making it something that we can teach our children. Okay, grasping the book of Revelation. Grasping means to just grab it, not only just grab its meaning, its understanding, but to grasp it urgently as part of our of our lives, understanding the structure of the book of Revelation. We spent some time last week in dealing with the structure and how from the structure you're going to get the scope. You're going to get a lot of things if we correctly understand the structure of the book, of any book, but in our case, the book of Revelation. Then we commented on the flow of Revelation. That will be what we're going to hopefully get to tonight. Look at that. That brings us to page 60. Now we start understanding the book, grasping the book, working with the book. The book predominantly is divided in the three, by the way, I've never taught a book this way. I have never in my life been in the ministry since May of 74 and never done this. So this is going to be a new experience, and is a new experience. However, we're getting ready to start and launch off Daniel, which we'll do in the same type of motif as we're doing with the book of Revelation. Now, the book is easily divided into three grand sections for us by the book itself. In chapter 1, it tells us the things you have seen, and that's chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, the things you have seen. What you might want to start doing is just start reading the book of Revelation. Start to kind of get a feel of what each chapter and the flow of it, and when we get there. Then the second, the things which are, and that's chapters 2 and 3, that involves the church. So, right now you know three chapters of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 is introduction and the things that are, the glory of Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 deal with messages to the church. The things which shall be, and that is the things that are to come about yet in the future, chapter 4 through chapter 22. Now, the next page. Next page, chaotic structural observation. This just is another way presenting some material that you might, some people, every one of you are going to learn and remember and deal with things differently. The Holy Spirit works with every kind of personality, every kind of way that people think. I like Christians We'd like to find every reason why this works and this doesn't work in the Christian life. But I got news for you. Whatever you want to pull, inside of you is the Holy Spirit. And if you're, you know, I like this. Well, I'm a right side of my brain person. I'm a left side of my brain person. Well, what do y'all do with the other half? You know, do you just cut it off? I mean, I know what we're talking about and that. And, but, you know, we kind of want to, I feel comfortable because that left side stuff I'm not good at. So I'm just going to say I'm a right side person. And that way I can kind of, you know, excuse myself on that other. But I'm just sort of a left side person, and that right side stuff I don't really do. And that's the reason I don't do well, Dad and Mom, is because I'm a left side person, left brain person. So that's why I don't do good in those courses. Yeah, right. I believe that. So, some people learn different ways, but I got you, because inside of you is the Holy Spirit. And whether you're right or left or front or back, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to take it. And he's gonna open your eyes to see what's going on. And as you can see, you got A, B, and then C, and then it goes back to B, A. Give you a structural outline and feel of the book, observation. You have introduction, chapter 1. Then you have B, the people on earth. And if you look at the second B, the people on the new earth. So that's what the book is gonna deal with. People on earth, people on the new earth. A, introduction. The last A, the A down at the bottom, conclusion. And that's the way, and by the way, it's gonna be interesting when we do this, show you how part of the introduction is almost directly parallel to what's going on in the conclusion, but we'll do that later. But introduction, conclusion, people on earth, people in the new heavens, new earth, and then see in the middle, the heart of the book, the visions, chapter 4 through 20. Okay, so, what do you know about the book of Revelation? Well, the book of Revelation, we know it deals with future things. Chapter 1 is going to deal with things that he has already seen in reference to Jesus Christ. We know that the heart of it is, and then we know there's going to be a part for the church, a couple of chapters. So there's three chapters knocked out, you already know. Conclusion, chapter 22, got that one down. And then the people on earth, that's the church, and then the people on the new earth, that's another chapter you got knocked out. And so that leaves the visions. And is the heart of what this book is about. Okay, chapter. Let's turn the page now. Simple structural observation. Simple structural observation of what this book is about. Now, if you'll notice, I kept for you so that you just your flows with you. Roman numeral 1, the things you have seen, the first vision, the glories of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. Just started adding now a little bit. What's that chapter 1 about? What's that first vision about? Well, it's about the glories of Christ predominantly. Just about. That's what it predominantly is going to deal with. We should take time to read it right now, but right now I'm just interested in you getting feeling very comfortable with this book, and it's not as difficult as some people would like to think. Roman numeral 2, get that same thing, things that are the seven churches. So we've extended now from what we've been seeing. These are the seven churches. Now, what do we know about them and all? We haven't gotten to yet. But we know that chapters 2 and 3 are about and concerning the seven churches. Roman numeral 3, the things which shall be. Now, we've extended that a little bit for us tonight. If we look, got A and B. A, the end of human history. B, the eternal state. Now, that eternal state, 20, 21, and 22. The eternal Jerusalem. The closing of the canon of Scripture, that's what those are about. So again, our major deal comes in that middle part. A, under Roman numeral 3, the end of human history. And here I've got 2 points, just 2. Activity in heaven, chapters 4 and 5. Let me say something. One of my favorite studies of the book is going to be next week. You don't have it yet. You'll get it next week. That is, understanding the book, what happens in heaven affects what happens on earth. And I want to deal with that, and I'm not in a rush on that one, and I'll tell you why. Because that's your life, people. That's what I want, that's what I hope to get across when we study that. That is your life. Where did you first see this? Anybody with me? Where did we first see something happening in heaven affects what's happening on earth? All right! I retire. That's good. You got it. The book of Job. Job's just going along. Everything's fine. He has no idea. There is a debate. There is a hot debate going on in heaven over him. And then, boom, his whole life starts falling apart. Why him? Because he thought he understood God and he wasn't even close. He wasn't even close. Remember the chapter 1, verse 1 is Job's great problem, not his glory, but his problem. Gene, thank you for coming tonight. I just made up my mind. I'll open up the another table next Tuesday night. Watch, nobody will be here. Okay. Now, so we're going to study that. So look at what we have here. We have one, activity in heaven. And just kind of, now it's going to go back and forth as you're going to see. Gene, do you have these pages we did last week, 62? Good. All right, we're on 62 now. Chapters 4 and 5. Seen in heaven. So now look what you already know. Chapter 1. What's chapter 1? Don't look. What's chapter 1? Introduction. 2 and 3. The church. 7 churches. Chapters 4 and 5. In heaven. Something's going on in heaven. We haven't figured out what yet. But something's going on in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. It's going to affect chapters 6 through 20. Whatever's going on in heaven in chapters 4 and 5 is going to affect chapters 6 through 20. Activity on earth. Second point. Activity on earth. Now look what you got. Tribulation, second coming, millennium, and last judgment. Now, almost every one of you know those terms. And here now you know where they are in the book of Revelation. Without any further ado. Well, if I want to look up something about the tribulation. Chapters 6 through 19. Got to know a little bit more of what you want to find. But that's the tribulation. Daniel's 70th week. You'll know what that means if you don't before we get through. B, the second coming. Chapter 19. So if I want to study about the second coming, or read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. The millennium and last judgment, chapter 20. Isn't that interesting? The tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, covers chapter 6 through, actually through 18, but 19 a little bit, 6 through 18. All of that is about the tribulational period. Then we come to one part of a chapter dealing with the second coming, and then one chapter devoted to the millennium and last judgment. So, you start, it's not a difficult book. And some of you are going to, I think by the time we get through a section two, the part we're in right now, what's the big deal? And I agree. And that's why, you know, I wasn't all that excited. I am now, and I'm having a lot of fun, learning a lot, doing a lot of other things with it. But, It's not a scary book. It's a great book. It's an encouraging book. It's a book that will alarm us about our daily life. It'll alarm you about your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, your church, what you do with your time, what you do with your money. This book's going to have all these wonderful impact if we allow the Spirit to open our eyes. It certainly has affected mine already. So let's get a feel now. Chapter 1, things you have seen. Glories of Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 3, things which are going on right now. Church. So 2 and 3, about the 7 churches. And then you have Roman numeral 3, things which are divided into 2 parts. The end of human history and the eternal state. The eternal state, chapters 20 through 22. So that leaves us with the end of human history up to the eternal state. So, 1, activity in heaven is going to introduce it all. That's chapters 4 and 5. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, Revelation 4, 1. After these things, I, John, looked, and behold, and by the way, after these things, that is, after the 7 churches, that is, after the church age, I, John, looked, and behold, a door open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. In other words, after the period of the church. So, what's going to happen next, he's going to go to heaven. That's two chapters, 4 and 5. Look at our work here, simple structural observation. Activity in heaven, 4 and 5. Because of what's going to happen in heaven, things are now going to happen on earth, chapter 6 through 20. So, what's going on in heaven affects what goes on earth. People, what's going on in heaven affects your life today. Don't have to wait to the rapture. Don't have to wait to the tribulation. What goes on in heaven today affects your very life. And a multitude of things are going on. Challenges are being hurled by the accuser, Satan. When you and I sin, he charges up there. Ah! Look at there. That Christian sinned. You can't use him anymore. Then he gets other Christians to help him and judge and malign. When you gossip, you judge and you malign another Christian's sin, you're just playing right where he wants you. You're just playing his part. So that's going on up there. And then our defense attorney stands up and he does a defense. If you watch enough of these law shows, Matlock type thing today, and one thing that you'll see every now and then, I think it's really cool, when he has to tell his client, just shut up and sit down. I do the talking. You don't say a word. Well, they're getting away with it. No, you be quiet. And people, that's the way it is in our spiritual life. Let him take care of it, not you and I. That's why he's our defense attorney. That's why he's our Savior. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Just let him take care of that, and you live your life by walking in the Spirit. But there's a lot going on in heaven that has to do with earth. Prayer. We saw this in John 14. You address your prayer to the Son and to the Father. Boom. There's a lot going on with our prayers. I don't think it's like this, but, we offer prayer up with them, and you can just see the triune, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Says, oh, well, okay, they want to win the lottery. What do you think about letting that person? No, I don't think it. Da, 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 da. This kind of thing. But what's going on up there? It's affecting our lives right here. So this is not just in the tribulation, but today. Activity on earth. Okay, think in these terms. You've got three events of the activity on earth. Just three. Tribulation, chapter 6 through 18. A little bit of 19, but let's just round it off. 6 through 18. Second coming, chapter 19. Millennium and Last Judgment, chapter 20. Now, is that difficult? It's not difficult. Okay, now look at your paper. What two chapters deal with activity going on in heaven? 4 and 5. Okay, and because of that, what's the next thing that's going to occur on earth? The tribulation. What chapters? Good. After the tribulation, the next thing is what? Second coming. What chapter? 19. After the second coming, what do you have? Millennium and Last Judgment. Chapter 20. You got it. You know where to go find anything you want now, at least the area that it's going to be in. Okay, let's go to the next section now. Now, this may look a little confusing to you, but this one is the most important. For that difficult section, 6 through 18, here it is. Now, before you look at your paper, just look up here a minute before you look at your paper. What you got to think of in terms of everything we're going to study that's in here about the tribulation. Think in terms of seals, trumpets, and bowls. Okay, get this in your mind. Seals, trumpets, and bowls. Yeah, that's where I get confused. I hear all about them bowls and hear all about them trumpets and hear all about their, you know, this and that. And I don't know where all that fits in and what's going on. And I get confused in that area, Just stay with me. No confusion. No confusion. You got seals, trumpets, bowls. Gets intensified. intensified. I'll show you why. We'll start with seals. Then it goes from the seals to the sounding of trumpets. Then from the sounding of trumpets to the bowls. What you're getting ready to look at. Let me tell you what you're getting ready to look at. There are seven seals. There are seven trumpets. There are seven bowls. Still not tough, is it? You got it. Seals, trumpets, bowls, there's seven of them. Now, I'm just going to show you what we're going to look at. I want to tell you first, like the old black pastor. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I told you. To me, that's a clear way of teaching. Okay, here's what we're going to look at. See these seven seals? The seven seals involve all of this. Because you have 1 through 6 seals, and the seventh seal is made up of the trumpets and the bowls. So this whole section is about the seals. It's chapter 6 through 19, seals. The seven seals. So you come to the seventh seal, and what are you going to have? You're going to have the trumpets. Go through 1 through 6, and then you come to the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is made up of the seven bowls. Now, these are bowls of judgment. We're going to be poured out. Okay. So, is that difficult for anybody? Shouldn't be difficult for anyone. You got seven seals, trumpets, bowls in that order. You got to, first of all, you got to unlock it. Then you blow the horn, the trumpet to announce it. Then you start pouring out the plagues. Seals, trumpets, plagues. Seven of each. The seventh seal is made up of the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. The seventh trumpet is made up of the seven bowls. If you get that flow, it'll all flow for you. This simple. This is the flow. This is what I mean by flow. Okay, now, let's take a look. What I've just told you. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues. You'll notice I haven't given you scripture here. I don't want to. What I'd like you to do is just get thoughts in your mind. Just get the thoughts. That's what I want you to do. Just kind of get the thoughts. Okay. First seal, false prophets. Second seal, wars. Third seal, famine. Fourth seal, earthly pestilence. Seems like the others are enough of that as it is. Gets tough. Fifth seal, tribulation. Sixth seal, heavenly signs. Things start happening in the heavens. You're out there on a moonlit night with your girlfriend. You're going to see things you had never seen. Okay. Now, seventh seal. Look how it goes down. Boom. It takes up all of the trumpets. First trumpet. Second trumpet. Now, you got four winds, and this is where they're going to fit in. It's going to talk about four winds. So the four winds are part of the second trumpet. Then you got the third trumpet, the fourth trumpet, the fifth trumpet. You got the first of the three woes. There are three woes in the book that are important. Fifth trumpet, first woe. Sixth trumpet, second woe. Seventh trumpet. Alright, the third woe are the seven bowls of plagues. Anybody lost? Anybody confused? And don't be embarrassed. This making sense? You got seven seals. They all play out except one to seven. The seventh one opens the door to the trumpets. You play out six of the trumpets. The seventh trumpet opens the door to seven bowls of plagues. Then you come down and you got the seventh trumpet. Boom, down below. First bowl of plagues, loss of health. Second, loss of food. Third, loss of water. Fourth, weather catastrophes. Fifth, epidemics. Well, you'd expect that. With all the other things going on, you're definitely going to start having epidemics. Sixth, going to have Armageddon. Where does Armageddon fit in all of this? The sixth trumpet. Okay? the sixth bowl, the sixth bowl. And then the seventh, world disasters after Armageddon. Okay, so that gives you a feel of those things. Now, before we go any further, let's stay right on that page. Let's talk a few minutes now. Let's talk about seals. Let's talk about seals. We got seals to, from seals to what? Trumpets. From trumpets to bowls. Good. Hey, I told you I've never taught like this before. This is, you know, you want to learn it, you're going to learn it. In spite of yourself. Okay. Let's talk about the seven seals, or just talk about seals in general. It's kind of why and what are they and what's going on. Before I go any further, let me explain to you what's going to happen. There is a book. And God the Father is holding the book. And this book is sealed or locked with seven seals. And the Father's holding it. And you come up, you can't get it. Nobody can come and get it. You have to be worthy. We'll come to that later. But he's got a book, and it's got seven seals. So let's talk about that a few moments, what we're talking about. If you want to, here it is in point form, however you want to do it. Point one, seals are used in four ways. One, as symbols of authenticity. As symbols of authenticity. For an example, if a king or a ruler gives a decree, he will seal it to authenticate that it came from him. He will put his seal. Maybe like we're familiar with a little melted wax, and they put a seal on it. So he would put his seal on it. Secondly, they are used as a sign of ownership. You put your seal on things as ownership. Not much uncommon to what we do. If you have a substantial number of books, can't get them in your house because they're boxes to the church. But you got little. What do we got in the back? This book belongs to. That's a seal kind of thing. This belongs to me. So a seal is used as a sign of ownership. You put your seal on things. Okay, and then three, as marks of authority. As marks of authority. In other words, this is authority for you to do something. And then the fourth one, as a means of securing a document or container. As means of securing a document or container. Okay? So point one, under that. Now we come to the fourth one, that's the one that's our interest. The first three are not our concern. But the same word, Greek word, is used for all of them. I'm not going to put the Greek word on the board because there's nothing there. Believe me, if there was something there I wanted you to see in the Greek word, I'd put it on a board. But there isn't. So let's just go on. All right, now, so we have the fourth use of a seal as a means of securing a document or container. Subpoint one, or I'm just going to say point one here. A sealed book could be read only by first opening or breaking the seal. It's the only way you can read it. First of all, you're going to have to break or open the seal. It's secured, it's affixed by a seal, and if you want to read the book, you got to break the seal. Point two, obvious question. Obvious question. Why? A book, as well as from others. They may not even be your enemy. By your friend, Daniel. Babylon, Scripture, the ones designed by God to walk it alone. And that becomes important, as we'll see. Okay, you should have found Daniel by now, Daniel 12:9, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed." They are concealed from the enemy, and then they're sealed up until the end time. When's the end time? That's where you and I are sitting right now. That's the end time. So the book is now going to be ready to be opened, and that's what we're going to be looking at in that state. So when Scripture says that a prophecy is sealed, what does that mean? It means, here it is, its full meaning is hidden until the time comes for the seal to be broken. That's what it means. When it says the prophecy is sealed, I just picked out one to give you an idea, means that its full meaning is hidden until the time comes for the seal to be broken. Point four, you can put it in brackets if you please. For the record, please look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. Those of you writing down, you can put 1:13. All right, what is point four? Point four is that you, every one of you sitting here that have accepted Christ as Savior by faith only and faith alone, you are said to be sealed, secured with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. There's a seal protecting you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in Him, that is, in Jesus Christ. The Greek actually says, in whom? From the previous verse, Jesus Christ. In whom? Jesus Christ, you, believers, also. Now this is beautiful. After listening, first of all, to the message of truth. Whoa, what a phrase. Only problem is, I wish they had translated it, message. It is the Greek word logos. That's the Greek for word. The word of truth. Word of God. Word of truth. That all those are technical terms for the gospel, which you have right there. The word of truth, the gospel. The word of God, the word of truth is the gospel. The truth of the gospel, as we studied in Galatians. And what is the truth of the gospel? Truth of the gospel is, I, God, will do it. You do nothing. You receive by faith, but you do nothing. I, God, do it all. That's the truth of the gospel, all the way through Scripture. You have a technical phrase. People like to say, well, you see the phrase, the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God means this whole book. No, it does not. I'm sorry. And I could take you on that journey, and we might do it some night. That's a technical phrase referring to the Word of God, namely the Gospel. I, God, will do it. This book contains the words of Satan. This book contains the words of man. Now, I'm not here to go on a crusade that we shouldn't call it the Word of God. I do that. Open the Word of God, and I have no problem doing that. But for your understanding, this isn't the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. It contains the words of Satan. Contains the words of man. And technical word of God, like in Isaiah 28, the word of God to them will become, what is that? The truth of the gospel to them will become. This is what they're going to see when they read it. Okay, let's continue now. In whom you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel, okay, of your salvation, that's salvation one, your deliverance, having also believed. So you hear it and you believe it. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. Having also believed, see, our faith is what God acts on so as to save, you were sealed, here's our word, you were sealed, people, bound up, secured, in Him, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit in you is a seal of your eternal protection, your eternal security. You understand that? You're sealed. You can't lose your salvation. Oh, you commit some horrible sin or sins or something, you'll lose your salvation. People, the moment you accepted Christ as Savior, He stamped His seal, as it were. His seal is the Holy Spirit that He put inside of you. And you can live like a scoundrel, like the prodigal son, your whole life. But I want to tell you something. You don't lose that seal inside of you. You got it. It's yours. It's security. You belong to Him. This is my possession. And you want me to tell you something else? Leave it alone. Don't judge other people. Nobody set you up to judge another man's servant, another man's possession. True gentleman goes somewhere, goes into someone's house. Lady also, ladies. I'm just speaking back in the days when everybody had servants and things. If you didn't like the way a man's household servant did something, you never said anything to the servant. That would be a breach of just every kind of etiquette. You go to the owner. You go to the boss. You go to the head of the house. And you talk with him. You don't correct other people's children. You go to the parent. You tell the parent. And the same thing is in the body of Christ, people. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Nobody sets you up to be the judge. We all have this seal in us. The seal of the Holy Spirit. The living seal. And it can't be broken. You're His forever. Okay, let's continue reading now. Verse 13, in whom, Jesus Christ, you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him, in Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is given, verse 14, who is given, that's the Holy Spirit is given, to you as a pledge, from whom? God the Father, of our inheritance, with a view, looking forward to the redemption of God's own possession. People, you're God's possession. You got a seal on you. Oh, I know sometimes, people, we don't feel like it. I know sometimes we don't look like it. We don't act like it. We fail. We sin. But you're His. You're His possession. And you can't lose that. In a sense, you're my son. And good, for better, for worse, or whatever you do, you're my son, you're my daughter. And that's the bottom line of it. And I love you. And no matter what you do, you're still mine. He can't deny His own. Cannot deny His own. And I like to make my point with this little illustration. Not much is ever known or said. Adolf Hitler's parents. Let's say that they lived, as I understand they didn't, but let's say they lived to the end there of his life. Why don't you just say, we don't know him. Not ours. You know, we weren't there. He's their son. They can't deny that. As scoundrel as he was, he's their son. And the same thing is true of God. He cannot deny His own. We have His seal. We have His seal. So it's for the redemption, the praise of His glory. Now back to seals in the book of Revelation. A book is sealed to secure it and to keep its contents secret until God is ready for them, that is the contents, to be revealed. Okay. Now, another little set of points. One, the sealed book is the subject of most of the book of Revelation. In fact, you know now, it's the subject of chapter 6 through what? 19. 18 if we want to round it off, but 19. So, the sealed book is the subject of most of the book of Revelation, namely chapter 6 through first part of 19. Two, for this book to be opened, someone worthy to open it must come forward. That person will be Jesus Christ. For that book to be opened, someone worthy must come forward. Point three. The book has seven seals. Now, the number seven means complete and a lot of things, and we'll study and look at the number seven later. It's a lot of sevens in the book of Revelation. A lot of sevens. And we know that numbers have various meanings. We know, for example, if I said three, what comes to your mind? Three, three, three. Huh? Trinity. What's something else in history? 3 hours, 3 hours, three, the cross. Three crosses on there. 3 hours in light, 3 hours in darkness, all the threes that are related to the crucifixion of Christ. Okay, so we know that. 12, what is, just quickly in your mind, 12? I'm sorry? What? Tribes, primarily tribes, because the disciples, it's good, but the disciples are the 12 for the nation of Israel. So you got numbers that carry the meaning. Point three, the book has seven seals. As each seal is broken, God's plan for the earth is revealed. Four. The seventh seal is made up of all seven of the trumpet judgments and all seven of the bowls of plagues. The seventh seal is made up of all seven of the trumpet judgments and all seven of the bowls of plagues. Point five. Just for the record, the seventh trumpet is composed of seven plagues. Okay, point six. First mention of the seven seals. First mention of the seven seals, the book of seven seals, chapter 5, verse 1. Let's open the Bible to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation 5, verse 1. Now I'll ask you a question. What starts in chapter 4? Where's the scene? Heaven. Good. Okay. Now we've gone through chapter 4 describing the throne, the elders, and a lot of things going on in heaven. Now we come to chapter 5, because 4 and 5 deal with what's happening in heaven. So, chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals. Got two good strong words there. Open and break. Verse 3. And no one in heaven, or on the earth, or under the earth, in the inner earth, was able, worthy, to open the book, or to look into it, or we might say, even to look into it. And I began to weep greatly, this is John, because no one was found worthy to open the book, or to look into it. John took this very seriously. He started crying. He was very weeping. Not going to get to see what's in this book. Okay, so he began weeping. And it says greatly. He's really letting out the tears. Verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold. Look. What does the word behold mean? Look. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals. We will study overcome. It's an important word in the book of Revelation. All right? He is overcome, so that makes him worthy to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb. Now, people have fun. Verse 5, the lion. Verse 6, a lamb in the same person, standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he came, and he took it, that is, he, this worthy one, the lion, the lamb, from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne. What a dramatic moment. And guess what? Who's going to be there seeing this? Huh? We are. This is where you're going to be, topside. You're going to see this. Remember, you've been raptured. Okay, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense with all the prayers of the saints, which are the prayers of the saints. That's the incense. People, what is your prayer like if you're filled with the Spirit? I'm not talking about prayers that don't get above the ceiling. I'm talking about prayers that go all the way to the throne. It's an incense. It's a sweet savor. It's a sweet savor. That's God's view of your prayers if you're in the power of the Spirit. You hear me? That's God's attitude about your prayers if you're in the power of the Spirit. They're a sweet incense. And I'm going to pick on a father here. What father has a little girl and she comes up and asks for something? He just melts. Have whatever you want. She just rolls her little eyes. A little boy, we're different. You know, hey, Dad, can I get out of here. She let that little girl walk up, roll her little eye, Daddy, oh man, that's it. He melts. You can have it. Just the very sound and the very request is what? It's sweet incense. It's something you don't get anywhere else. You don't get it anywhere else. That's what your prayers are, people. Okay. Which are the prayers of the saints? Now, and they sang a new song. Somewhere along the line, what I'm going to do is we're just going to study the songs out of this book. They're beautiful. Those of you that love music and poetry, you'll love it. New song sang. Here's the new song now. Worthy art thou to take the book and to break the seals. For thou wast slain, crucifixion, and did purchase for God with thy blood from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, Israel and Gentile. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom, all the believers, kingdom and priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth. Okay, so here's the introduction of the seven seals. Now, what's chapter 6? Chapter 5, you've just had the book. Now, chapter 6 of Revelation is the opening of the first six seals. Now, you see how easy you got it now? Now you know what chapter 6 is about. And if you want a little memory jolter, how many seals are going to be opened before that last one? How many? What chapter is it going to be in? Ah, piece of cake. Unfortunately, they're not all that going to be that easy to remember. But what's chapter 6 about? Six seals. So do you see what you've already got tonight? You know what chapter 1 is about? What's chapter 1 about? Introduction. Glories of Christ. What's 2 and 3? Church. About the church. What's 4 and 5? Seen in heaven. What's 6? Opening of the seals. Six seals. Chapter 5, what do you know about it now? You just read it. What's chapter 5? It's about the book. It's about the book with the seven seals. So, you're already learning things about the book. Just sitting here. You can flow through 6 chapters already, and we've knocked off chapters 22 and 21, 20 through 22. Why? Because that's in the future. The eternal state, the eternal kingdom, and the conclusion. So we're knocking these things out, and you're learning them without even trying. Now, chapter 8, skipped up to 7, chapter 8 is the opening of the seventh seal. Look at chapter 8, verse 1 with me. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Had a watch. Okay? All right, so, chapter 5. The book, chapter 6, the opening of the six seals. Chapter 8, the opening up of the seventh seal. Now remember, let me ask you, what composes the seventh seal? Trumpets and bowls. Good. See there? This is cool. Alright, now, trumpets. Let's talk about trumpets. I've talked to you about seals. This won't take but a minute. Have we got about a minute, Jerry, or a couple minutes? Okay. Let's do the trumpets so we can close this section of our study. Trumpets. The sound of the trumpet has been used throughout all history, some form of a call. It can be a call to an alert. It can be a call of warning. It can be a call of assembly. I think all of you have enough history knowledge to know the sound of the trumpet is a historic sound through history. Okay. One. There are 7 blasts of the trumpet. There are 7 blasts, or 7 trumpets, 7 blasts of the trumpet. Chapter 8, verse 2. Let's look at it. Chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. There are 7 trumpets. Now, point 2. First one. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, the first trumpet. Let's read verses 6 and 7 together. And the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Okay. Point 3. Chapters 8 and 9, composed of the 6 trumpets. 2 chapters. Chapters 8 and 9, 6 trumpets. What chapter composes the 6 seals? Chapter 6. Now, what chapter composes the 6 trumpets? 8 and 9. Point 4. The 6th trumpet, 9:14. The 6th trumpet, the final one in the sense of the list. 6th trumpet, chapter 9, verse 14. Let's take a look at it. Chapter 9, verse 14. One saying to the 6th angel who had the trumpet, release the 4 angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So there's the 6th angel, the 6th trumpet. Point 5. The 7th trumpet. The 7th trumpet. Now, what does the 7th trumpet compose? All the bowls. 7 bowls. Good. Got to learn this in spite of me. Here we go. Now, point 5, the 7th trumpet, chapter 11, verse 15. Let's just go over and take a look at it. Get familiar with these things. Chapter 11, verse 15. And the 7th angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and forever. That's the 7th seal. The 7th trumpet. Point 6. 7th trumpet is composed of all 7 bowls of plagues. The Greek word refers to a broad bowl. A bowl refers to a broad, shallow cup, or a vial, or a bowl. Bowl with a wide mouth, like a cereal bowl. Wide mouth around this bowl. Greek word for plague refers to a stroke. That's a plague. The Greek word refers to a stroke, a wound, a calamity, a plague. It comes from the verb to strike. To strike. It refers to a blow that causes a wound or injury. 1. Just 2 points here. There are 7 bowls or plagues. There are 7 bowls or bowls of plagues. Chapter 15, verse 7. Let's look at it. Chapter 15, verse 7. And one of the 4 living creatures gave to the 7 angels 7 golden bowls, full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and forever. So point one, there are seven bowls of plagues introduced in 15:7. Point two, this is easy. They are all poured out in chapter 16. They are all poured out in chapter 16. Okay, think with me. Six seals, what chapter? Chapter 6. Seven trumpets, 8 and 9. Seven bowls, 16. You're getting the book. You can start looking for these things. Anything when we get through, anything you want to talk about. What I'm going to do, I'll tell you how serious I am about this, and I mean serious. As we go through this, I'm just going to start saying beast, seven-headed dragon, mark of the beast. I'm just going to name things, and I want the chapters. That's how familiar you're going to come in spite of yourself. You're going to know this book. You asked for it. You're going to know the book. Okay, let's see where we've gone now and close here. Chapter 1, introduction, things that were. Chapter 2 and 3, things that are, seven churches. Chapter 4 and 5, seen in heaven. What's chapter 5 about? What's chapter 5? The book. Chapter 6, what is it about? Six seals. Chapters 8 and 9, six trumpets. Chapter 16, seven bowls. All seven there. Chapters 21 and 22, new earth and conclusion. You've already got all of that. And all we're going to do is just continue to keep putting it together. Putting more and more. And I'll show you why the things are put in there. What's going on? See, we skipped chapter 7. What's going on there? Well, we'll find out. And it's going to make sense to you. It's going to be easy for you to flow. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. A sealed book, Heavenly Father, that can be opened in our souls if we will allow your Spirit by just trusting Him to open our eyes. Heavenly Father, we have no platform that we want to prove here. We have no dates in mind of when all these things will take place. We're not going to do that to ourselves, Heavenly Father. We're going to allow your Spirit to just open our eyes to see what you would have us to see. But you would have your Spirit to reveal to us. And Father, we pray as we go this journey that your Spirit will not only open our eyes to things going on here, but to have these things become such an impact in our life, such an impact in our soul and our relationships with this assembly, with each other in our homes and our life, and with our destiny in Christ. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.